You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions. Thank you for joining me today. No cause for stumbling is the title of this devotion. 1 John 2 verse 10 says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Stumbling. Have you ever stumbled? Sure you have. Have I ever stumbled? Oh, I used to pray a long time ago, "Oh, Father, how many more times have I have to come before you and ask you, forgive me. I shouldn't have responded like that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that." You know, and then I had to come because my heart was again so aware that there was a nature in me contrary, and I didn't know yet how to live in the freedom that the presence and the Spirit of Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18, brings into us from all that stumbling. I didn't know how to live in that light and in that love, and I would stumble over silly things that would upset me. And it says here in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put a bit in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Whatever the pilot desires, wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature as it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast or bird or reptile or creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. While with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." And you can see that James was interceding for us to realize how much we need God, especially when it comes to the way that we speak. You know, somebody came up with a silly statement, "Sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but what anybody says won't bother me." I don't know if I said that correctly, but the point is made. That is a silly statement. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, Moses said. It is amazing how, by one word, when people are arrested, I know in the United States, they say anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. By our words, we are justified, the scripture teaches, or condemned. Jesus said, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth, we have to give an account to God. Jesus also says, what we have living in our heart becomes evident by how we talk with our mouth. And Romans 10 says that if we believe with our heart that God raised Christ from the dead and confess him with our mouth as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. It shows you the power that we have in the way that we talk. And we have some incredible examples here in Scripture. One of my favorite example in Scripture is a man called Job in heaven, according to Ezekiel. Job is seated next to Daniel and Noah around the throne. And in Job, we can see that when we are one with God, we are blessed. But that there is a devil who seeks to come, like Jesus said in John 10, to kill, steal, and destroy. And Job, being the oldest book in the Bible, probably written about 200 years after the flood, and he lived in the days of Abraham, that the book of Job was a book through which God was able, through Job, I should say it this way, Job was a man through whom God was able to show to all mankind, God is good and the devil is evil. We need God and his ways to live free from the evil. And here the devil came up against Job and in one day killed his children, took all of his business from him as he struck him with every disaster that could come against any man. And then when Job heard about all of this, it says in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Job, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head. That was a form of showing deep sorrow and mourning. And he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Now, I know some people use this to make the point the devil took away, not God. I am so happy this is in my Bible. Because Job gave the devil nothing. He gave it all to God. The devil came for it, but he gave it to God. The Lord take it away. I've given it to God. I believe in this with all my heart. It's the same as Jesus on the cross of Calvary, crying out to the Father, in thine hands I commit my spirit. Or as Stephen, while he was stoned, Lord, receive my spirit. While he was being stoned, he gave himself to God. When Jesus was crucified, he offered himself to God. That's exactly what Job was doing. That's why Job is such a beautiful example of Christ. And then when all of this tragedy had struck in, the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Blameless. God declares him blameless. I don't know how any minister can have any charge against Job when God declares him blameless. I believe he's blameless. And to be blameless when all is going well is one thing. And then to be blameless when all is going bad is another. I'm not saying that it's easier when things are going well to be blameless. No, the temptations to be caught up with the pleasures of this life can be as detrimental to our soul if we allow them to capture our affections, as do the tragedies of life. But you could see in the good things Job worshiped God, as well as in the hard things he worshiped God. And this is what I find so inspiring, that Job did not stumble despite all hell broke loose against him. Even his own wife turned against him. And then it says in verse 10, and he said to his wife, who said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? Listen now, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I find that most phenomenal. And I want to encourage you today, no cause for stumbling. If you keep abiding in the light of God and his great love, he will so fortify you in him that no matter what you're going through, you will be an example of his love, an example of true faithfulness, an example of godliness, an example of the true Christian religion that shows Jesus Christ crucified, the Son of God, in us and through us. If we go to the last chapter of Job, chapter 42, that Job then says, I know that you can do everything, in verse 2, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you, Job is saying to the Lord. And then it says in verse 7, and so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now, friends, I believe that when we go through some of the toughest times in this life, we can follow Job's example and worship God and say, I know my Redeemer lives, and say, I know there's nothing he cannot do and no purpose can be withheld from him, and say, he knows me, he knows my ways. Job had so many beautiful statements. One statement he makes in chapter 27, he says, after the Lord has completed searching me, he himself will bring me forth pure as gold. I know when somebody think about the Lord searching them, they think that's a negative thing. The opposite is true. It is the Lord approving you. It is the Lord making known who you truly are in the face of the devil, in the face of Satan's evil, wicked schemes. The Lord revealed that Job was truly a friend of God, that Job was a true worshiper, that Job was a true heavenly man, a saint of God, and worthy of a heavenly life, and that Satan had no claim on him, that no matter what Satan did against him, the Lord was for him because Job was for the Lord. I believe that we can be in such a place that we live as examples for a new generation. David said in Psalm 19, it's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 19, he says in verse 12, who can understand his own errors? Cleanse me, Lord, from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumption means willful, that I know it's wrong and I do it anyway. Keep me from that, Lord. Let them not have dominion over me, and I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Listen now. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. For David, it was the Lord. It was the Lord who kept him. Now, let me close with you from the Living Bible, from this psalm that has helped me enormously. Psalm 69 has helped me. It is a long psalm. It's 36 verses, so I can't read the whole psalm. But when I went through incredible sorrows in my life, many, many years ago, 1986, I went through horrific pain in my life. And as I went through that pain, this psalm became one of the psalms that God used to help me. And David here says, save me. Oh my God, the floods have risen. Deeper and deeper I sink in the mire. The waters rise around me. I've wept until I'm exhausted. My throat is dry and hoarse. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to act. I cannot even count all those who hate me without cause. They're influential men, those who plot to kill me, though I'm innocent. They demand that I'm punished for what I didn't do. Oh God, you know so well how stupid I am, and you know all my sins. Oh Lord God of the armies of heaven, do not let me be a stumbling block to those who trust in you. O God of Israel, don't let me cause them to be confused, though I am mocked and cursed and shamed for your sake and so forth. And David is praying this, do not let me be a cause of stumbling to others. Use me as an example of your mercy. Use me an example of your forgiving love. And that's exactly what God did. for David. And that's exactly what I believe the Lord is saying to you and me today. Be an example of my love. Be an example of my mercy. Be an example of my grace. Let everybody know that I love you and that the same love with which I love you, I love them too. Amen. Have a good day.